or 2000s?
I don't know. I was born in the 90s, so that's what I say.
Late 90s. Does that count? We're going to have to look it up.
Does that count?
We're 90s babies.
We are. Late 90s.
Hi.
I think it's 2000s. Hi.
Hi. Okay. So welcome to Trying to Communicate with Kayla. That was a big old intro.
We're ready.
Yeah. So I want to introduce my friend who is a fitness guru who I actually did an ad for in another episode, but I thought if I have to do an ad for her, I have to also have her on to do a podcast episode. So without further ado, my friend Cheyenne is here to talk about fitness and her journey and all things being healthy. So if you want to take over the mic,
all right,
get it, girlfriend. So all tell right. me about your story and like how we know each other and just yeah. you can go off on all the tangents.
All right, I'll do it. So I have known of you for a while. So I see you on social media. All the your face right now is giving me life.
Social media is a thing.
It's the thing. So yeah, you and your business, a few of my friends actually work with you. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I've seen you. Always thought you were super cool. Wanted to know you, wanted to meet you. Look, I'm giving
have
you
have I lived
all
up
the,
to your standards?
I'd have to say 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. No, but that's kind of how I knew of you. And then just when I saw you were doing a podcast, I was like, oh, this is amazing. Would love to use that to kind of bridge the gap, I think. Yeah. And I think that we're doing that. So yeah. As far as my story, I have always been active. One, another thing we have in common is cheer. So I competitively cheered
go,
my entire...
Go, fight, gee, I hope I look all right. Go me!
Pretty much that's what I did for my whole childhood. So I competitively cheered for 13, 14 years, all the way until I graduated high school.
Where did you cheer?
So I cheered for my school. I went to Franklinton, and then I also cheered for a rec team when I was younger that competed, so kind of like a in-between. And then I cheered, I did a short stint in All-Stars, so I did tumbling at Cheer Extreme, and I cheered for a smaller All-Star gym, what's it called, Carolina Extreme, which was open for a couple years. So I did that. Stopped that in college, and after I stopped cheerleading, I was like, well, what do I do now? Like, I don't know how to do anything else.
What exercise is cheerleader ask?
Exactly. I'm like, now that cheer no longer runs my life, like, what the hell do I do? I don't know. So I essentially what happened is I went from being very underweight as a flyer, top girl, whatever you want to call it, to no longer exercising, and I gained like 20 pounds in a year. So I went from one end to the other, and I was like, this is not how this was supposed to go. Like, yeah. I don't think this is right. And then I stumbled upon structured exercise, like going to the gym in that stupid gen ed class, whatever it is, that exercise 1000.
Exercise science?
No, the general like education class that
general
every...
physical education.
Sure. Yep. Exactly. Whatever that one is, whatever school you
general
go to.
Physical education.
Something that sounds like a bunch of bull crap that there like no go. One wants to take. It's like the class that everyone hates it. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But I was like, oh, like exercise is a thing. And like for me, it became a really big stress reliever. Like I focused so much on food and I had so much anxiety about what should I eat. I was overthinking it all the time. I was eating really restrictively. And then I was like binge eating and I like couldn't stop. So it was like one extreme or the other. And I then used exercise as kind of a way to relieve stress and get my mind off of that aspect of my life. And then from there, it pretty much transformed my life, I think is a good way to look at it. I lost weight, I gained muscle. I was like, oh, I love this. I became more self-confident. And then it actually caused me to change my major. So I went into college as an elementary education major and I changed it to exercise science. I was like, I love
it. Because you didn't like the other side of it or what?
So I changed my major and like from education. I love kids. I've always loved kids. Like and even in exercise science, I thought I was going to work with kids. Like, that was what I wanted to do. I changed my major from education. Just the school I was, I went to ECU. I just was having a really hard time there. I couldn't find my group of people, I think. And at the time when I was in the education program, Common Core was becoming a thing. And I didn't love that either. So kind of the politics into all that, which we all, I'm sure, know. But
politics sucks.
Suck. They're the worst. I hate them. But yeah, I think just kind of I wasn't loving that. And I was so then intrigued by exercise and what it was doing, not to my body, but to my mind. Like the mindset shift that I had from focusing so much on food and just focusing, you know, more on what, how exercise made me feel. And that intrigued me so much that I figured I would make, you know, a life out of it and decide to switch my career to exercise science. And I graduated. I work as an exercise physiologist now with older adults. So I actually went from wanting to work with kids. Now I work with the geriatric population, and I love them. They're so cute. They're just like kids. They're like, they're the cutest. And then they really are. And like, and then I also started playing with social media. So I made an Instagram account for, I was like, I'm going to try to run a business online and let's just see what happens. And I've been doing it for a year and a half.
And now you're balling.
And now I love it. I love it. Yeah. So that's kind of, that's the really condensed version of my story. I could talk about it all day, but essentially I went from no structure and have no idea what to do with my life to exercise kind of saved my life in a way, I think. So here I am.
If you're tired of wearing the same outfit every day like I am, don't worry, I have your back. I found the cutest statement jewelry ever. I've always thought, side note, that jewelry was such an easy way to add to a simple outfit to make you look super put together. And that's the goal, right, fam? You could be a hot mess express, but still look put together. It's another small business founded by two best friends from New York City, and it's called Le Petite Boutique. Their mission is to make their jewelry accessible and affordable to women everywhere. They also sell masks, which I highly recommend just because why not be safe and cute all at the same time? You know what I mean? Use code Kayla15 for 15% off of your purchase, and the link to their website is in our notes section from this episode. Now, back to the episode.
I like it.
Well, so for me, and we kind of talked about this a little bit. So we went to go to El Señor before, and this is not an ad, but we went there, and no lie, how long did it take the food to come out?
I mean, like 4 minutes and 37 seconds.
It was crazy.
It was literally like, we had just ordered. I just sat down, and they were like, here you go. I was like,
yeah, okay. Yeah, we like had margaritas, and we ate food, and it was amazing, and we talked a little bit about what we were going to talk about, but my main thing with the health industry and what I told her while we were eating our chicken nachos and Texas fajitas
so good.
Was that I am just really stressed out by the health industry. And I'm really stressed out by the fact that I can go to one Instagram account and they say one thing. I can go to one YouTube account and they say a completely different thing. I can go to a million different things and I can't figure out what the actual, I don't know how to say it, guideline to my health should be.
Right.
And I know that I'm not healthy. I know that I eat way too much Kraft mac and cheese. I order DoorDash way too much. I should probably be sponsored by DoorDash, but they don't. It's fine.
Not upset about that. It's fine.
I'm kind of upset about it. But I just, it's weird because in the past couple of years, I'll bring you through what goes on through my mind.
Hit me. I'm ready.
So basically, whenever I see something, I'm like, oh, that sounds good, and I want to eat it. But then I'm like, it's not healthy. So then maybe I don't want to eat it. Then I go to the other healthy alternatives, and I'm like, well, I don't really want to eat those either.
Yeah.
And then I sit there, and it's like, well, now 4 hours have passed, and I just haven't eaten anything.
Yeah.
Should I just wait until the next meal? And I know that that's not good because skipping meals is not something that you should be doing unless you're fasting for a specific purpose or cause or whatever. And I just, honestly, if I'm breaking it down to be really real with you, food just stresses me out, and I don't know what's good for me. I don't know what's bad for me. I want to spend money on good, healthy food. Mm-hmm. I do that. I buy cucumbers and carrots and celery, and then I have it in my fridge, and I still get DoorDash. I don't know what to do.
Don't know what to do.
So, yeah, help me. Tell me what to do.
Help me. So that actually, and we, once again, we talked about this over our delicious lunch. You know, that food is really, really confusing for a lot of people. A lot of people don't know what to do. They walk into, you know, what's considered the healthy food sections of the grocery store, and they're just overwhelmed. They buy everything, and then they don't know what to do with it. Or,
I throw away so much lettuce.
It just sits there, and I don't know what to do with it.
And like, I want to make a salad so bad, and I just don't.
Listen, mastering the salad is like, if I could do that, I would hang my career on that. But listen, there's a lot you can do with lettuce, but we can talk about that another time.
Yeah.
But essentially, you're not the only one that has this problem. And the bone that I have to pick with social media, as much as it is a great tool and it is very educational and it's very fun, and you know, there's a lot that can be taken away from it, there's also a lot that it puts out to the world that isn't great either. And that's one of the big reasons why I started my fitness account, was because I was seeing all these quote unquote, you know, fitness influencers or health and fitness professionals, whatever you want to call it, posting essentially a bunch of bull on the internet.
Yep.
Coming from where? Like, where are you getting this from? What are your sources? Where in science is this being supported? And unfortunately, the fortunate and unfortunate thing about fitness is that even though it's so versatile, which is great, but then it's also, that's what makes it so confusing for some people, is that it's not a one size fits all. Everyone has their own special little formula that works for them, and it might work for only them. It might never work for you. It might never work for me. And a lot of fitness accounts do not preface that. So they do it, and they say that this is the way because it's what's worked for them. That's not what works for most of those fitness accounts is not going to work for you or I. Because once again, the great thing about being human and the big downfall is that we are all so different, and it's very hard to make one thing fit for everyone. And that's kind of the thing with fitness that overwhelms so many people, is like, they don't know where to start because there are so many options. But I have a really simple approach to fitness and to nutrition. Okay. Everything in moderation is fine for food. Should you, like, the one thing I allow for myself, I love Chick-fil-A. And I also, in general, I love French fries. They're so good. Mm-hmm. They're so good. Like, I love them.
I a woman after my own heart.
A French fry connoisseur, if you will, of sorts.
A French fry connoisseur.
You know. No, but I allow myself to have that once, maybe twice a week. It's not, if you have it once, it's not the end of the world. But you also want to use food as a way to fuel your body. A lot of people think of food as like a punishment of like, I can only eat healthy raw vegetables 90% of the time. And, you know, if I have one bad thing, that's just the end of the world. And it's not. Should you be eating, you know, Chick-fil-A and McDonald's and stuff every day? Probably not. But having it on occasion isn't going to kill you, you know? So that's kind of my approach to things. Everything in moderation is fine. If you want the French fries, eat the French fries. Like, drink the soda. It's not the end of the world. Depriving yourself, I think, creates that really unhealthy mindset and creates that anxiety around food of like, when is it the right time to treat myself? When is it not? Can I call it a treat? Is it okay to have a treat? What? I hate the term cheat days. I don't believe in them. I don't label foods as good or bad. If I want it, I eat it. Mm-hmm. And it's as simple as that. But it's about self-control as well. You can't, if I want French fries.
If all you're wanting is French fries, at some point you have to limit yourself.
Exactly, exactly. You have to find that balance. And I think a lot of people think it's one way or the highway, and that's just not true. I think having an open mind to eating what you want in moderation is the best way to do it. That's what's worked for me, because I went from really undereating to then completely flipping the switch, and I was really overeating in college, and I had trouble finding that balance because it was the same way. It was one way or the highway. It was like, either I'm not going to eat anything, or I'm going to go to town and get one of everything in the dining hall, and that's just going to be it. And that didn't work for me, and that's not going to work for anyone. It's just, eat what you want. Don't make food something, you know, this really miserable thought that you sit and stew over. Like you said, you're thinking about it for hours and hours, and it's consuming your day. And then you haven't eaten anything, and that's not good either, you know? And as far as healthy foods, I mean, there's a ton of ways. When I first started eating healthy, Pinterest everything. I look up everything. How do I cook roasted broccoli? I don't know. Tell me. Tell me what to do. But that's kind of my thought on that. I think everything in moderation is the best, most tried and true piece of advice that I could give.
What is your thought on the food pyramid?
Like, goodbye. The food pyramid no longer exists. The food pyramid is actually very outdated, though, in all seriousness. The food pyramid was a thing when we were kids. Like, that was the thing. That's what...
I remember the plates that had, like, the cutoff sections. Like, this is where your greens go.
Yeah.
And this is where your starches go. And this is where your proteins go.
Yes. So, essentially, the food pyramid was quite flawed. However, what's out today, which is similar to what you're referencing, is my plate. And my plate is... actually quite accurate. Food pyramid, no, throw her away, she's done. But my plate is it's actually, if you go to myplate.gov, you can find this information. It is very credible. It's backed by the CDC, government, NIH, all that good stuff. Really great information. But it shows you what your plate of food should look like, basically, and it's exactly what I said. Everything in moderation. So
what is everything in moderation?
Everything. You have your proteins, which could be your meat source, should take up about 25% of your plate. Your carbs, your starches, your pasta, your Kraft mac and cheese should make up a portion of your plate. I would say 20 to 25%. And then you have your fruits and vegetables should make up the other half of your plate. So you ideally want to get a lot of your foods from fruits and vegetables. Like those are the most nutritious, the best for you, the most natural. And then you want the rest of it to come from proteins or carbs.
Whew, ever since quarantine started, I have needed to get back into the gym or at least try to work out, because who knows if things are going to shut back down. I don't know, and working at home stresses me out. I've just been needing to work on my summer body, and to be honest, I've needed to do something at home or at the gym for a long time, but sometimes it just depends on my mood and how strictly we're being quarantined. So good for me, and also good for you. My friend Maddie has a solution, and it's Get Fit Mad, which is a training program where you get personal assistance from the personal trainer, Maddie herself. Madeline's mission is to teach consistency throughout your whole fitness journey, not just a day here, a day there. It's all about making fitness a part of your lifestyle, and that's the way to go. Tell Madeline that my podcast sent you, and you will receive a free training session from Madeline herself. Oh, hey, Maddie, can I be your first customer from this podcast? I really need your help. Make sure to contact her for any of your summer fitness needs. Now, back to the episode. So I have a question for you.
Hit me.
So I read this thing online, and I know that you hate things that I read online, so I'm sorry in advance. But I read this thing online that was like, it's really great if you consume a lot of fruits, but you can't only consume fruits because then you're consuming a lot of sugars, and then if you're only consuming a lot of sugars, blah blah blah. And to be honest, like, I'm just trying to consume at least one good thing a day, like, so it kind of stresses me out to hear that, because I'm like, well, if I'm only eating a smoothie every couple of days, like, oh God, am I doing something wrong? But I know that fruits are good for me. Mm-hmm. And so what do you have to say about, like, good sugars versus bad sugars?
Yes. So really great question. In wherever you found that online, there is some truth. I mean, fruits are a high source of natural sugar. But sugar is not a bad word. Sugar is not...
Just like carbs!
Yeah. No, but sugar is not bad for you. There is actually... Our brain only functions off of one very specific type of carbohydrate. So your body does need a certain amount of carbs to function. It's called a macronutrient for a reason. You do need to consume it. That's why I hate no-carb diets. I have such a bone to pick with anyone who supports a no-carb diet. But, you know.
We'll
get there. But, no, fruits are great. I think fruits are fantastic. They're a great food source. They come with a lot of antioxidants as well, which help reduce inflammation, fight infection, boost your immune system, things like that. So they're really, really great. But just like anything else, it all comes back to this principle of everything in moderation. Should your entire day be filled with just fruits? Probably not. You're lacking in other things. So if you're going to have a smoothie for breakfast, have a smoothie for breakfast. Like, fill it with the fruits that you love. I love fruit smoothies. I have a very specific smoothie recipe that's the only type of smoothie I eat.
What is your smoothie recipe?
Strawberries, banana, half a cup of almond milk, a scoop of vanilla protein, and ice. But it's only strawberries and bananas because those are my two favorite fruits. But I'll have that several times a week, sometimes once a day. It's good and it's nutritious.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's totally fine. I don't think the good and bad sugars, I think you want to avoid added sugars to things. That's really... You want to get your sugar from natural sources. A great natural source of sugar is fruit. And I think that that's fine.
To end this conversation, what would be your biggest advice to people? Like, I'm a big checklist kind of person.
Yes.
So when I go into my day, I'm like, okay, if I need to have some vitamins, I'm going to put that on my checklist. And when I have them, I'm going to check it off.
Right.
When I have some protein, I'm going to put it on my list. When I have it, I'm going to check it off. So what do you think are the five biggest things that people need to have every single day in order to be a healthy human being?
Great question. One of the biggest things and one of the most underrated things and things we don't think about, if you're trying to start living a healthy lifestyle or lose weight, make sure you're getting enough sleep. That's the one thing people do not talk about when they're losing weight. When you're stressed or when you're not getting enough sleep, your body is holding on to those carbs and those fats for energy to get through your day. So make sure you get enough sleep. 7 to 9 hours is recommended for most individuals. A very small percentage of people can function on less than that. I'm very envious of those people because I'm not one of them. I get a solid 8 to 8.5 hours of sleep every night for me to function how I need to function throughout my day. So that would be the biggest thing that most people don't say. Get enough sleep. Number two, just like we've talked about this entire time, eat a balanced diet. It doesn't need to be healthy 100% of the time. Eat the things that you want. Treat yourself. Have a margarita. Get those Texas fajitas. They're delicious. Go for it. But eat, you know, try to eat nutritious things most of the time. That's what I would say. We're going back to my plate. Your proteins, your meat sources, beans, nuts and seeds, things like that. Your carbs. Carbs are not bad. That's, you know, pastas, grains, breads. They're so delicious. But try to go with things like whole grain or multigrain. That's going to be better. And then the other half, your fruits and vegetables. Eat all the fruits and vegetables. They're so good for you. Antioxidant properties, lots of vitamins, minerals, all the good stuff like that. So just eat a balanced diet. But if you want cake, eat cake. If you want soda, have a soda. Just don't have 12 in one day, you know, like balance it out. So that would be number two. Number three, drink water.
How much water?
Great question. So there have been some things, we talked about this at lunch, where people like drink half of your body weight in ounces, drink a gallon of water a day. That's been brought up recently, once again, thanks to social media. But once again, going back to what's tried and true, an average of 64 ounces a day, which is 8 8-ounce glasses of water is still been shown to be totally sufficient. So like I have a Hydro Flask that's 32 ounces. I fill that bad boy up to 3 times a day, and that's plenty for me. So
I got this bubble. I need to figure out what it's called, but it's pink. I'll show it to you. It's super okay. cute, but it's exactly 64 ounces of water, and you fill it up and yep, boom.
And that's it. And yeah.
There you go. That's and I it. Could drink it. My recommendation, I'm not the healthiest of healthy, but, you know, I'll just throw my recommendation in there. I get that water bottle. I think it's called a bubble water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
It's pink. It comes with a straw that's super, I don't know, you can chew on it.
It's like a silicone straw.
Yeah, it's super cute.
Yeah.
But it's 64 ounces, and I fill it with water, ice, and I drink it throughout the day. And honestly, most of the time, I get through it before 12, 1. And then after that, I can drink whatever I want. Because then, like you said, in moderation.
For sure.
It's fine. Yes. Like, I can drink a Truly, or I can have a Mountain Dew. Absolutely. Or I can do whatever. Then it's fine because I've already drank my...
You've had your water. Yep. Yep. So 64 ounces is good. And just like you said, like, I love Dr. Pepper. That's like my thing. And I have those. I have a few a week. I love them. And then too, if you're drinking more than 64 ounces, not to say that drinking more than 64 ounces is bad. You're just going to pee it out. I mean, it's not going to hurt you or anything like that, really.
You
I mean,
kidney issues? Unless drink you're more than 64 ounces of water.
There you go. There you go. Clean her out. Yep. No, I mean, unless you drink like an ungodly amount of water in a day, it's not going to hurt you to drink a little bit more than that. So water would be my next biggest thing. Tip number 4, I would say, is to try to move for 30 minutes a day, whether that's yoga, whether that's walking, whether that's strength training, any type of exercise or movement. You don't want to just sit all day. Your body was made to move. That's what your muscles and bones are for. They thrive off of movement. Your brain thrives off of movement. It's been scientifically shown that you have better cognitive function, you have better focus, more energy when you move for 30 minutes a day. So just move. Whatever that looks like for you, move 30 minutes a day. And then the last one, I think if I had to pick, there's a lot of different things. The last one that I would pick would be actually to... make sure you're getting some socialization in as well, whether that's finding a partner to work out with, having a trainer, being in an accountability group on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. When you're trying to start a healthy, you know, a health journey or learning about fitness, you need a village. You need people to hold you accountable, to cheer you on. It's really hard to do it alone. It's very hard to find that motivation if you don't have any support. So I think that would probably be my biggest thing. Have a friend to go on it with you. I set up FaceTime workout dates with my best friend to keep us both motivated, to make sure that we're getting in our 30 minutes of movement. And that has been life-changing. It's kept us both really, really consistent over the years. So I think those would probably be my biggest 5. It takes time to get them all checked off and to learn how to fit it into your day. But once you do it, once you build the habit,
you're set.
You can't go back. You really can't. You really can't.
I love it. Well, so to end this out, I want you to talk about your biggest issue with fitness and health and then how you got over it.
Okay.
And your best piece of advice to beginners with starting their fitness journey?
All right. Great question. So my biggest issue that I personally faced was food. So like I kind of prefaced in the beginning, I struggled really, really badly with disordered eating. I would not say it was a diagnosed eating disorder. I never sought treatment. Thank God. I thank God every day that I never had to do that. I'm very blessed that I didn't have to do that. But in high school, I ate very restrictively. I did not eat enough. When I graduated high school, I was probably 105 pounds. And for someone that's 5'6", that's very underweight. And then it went to then the complete opposite. I began stress eating and binge eating and just had no self-control because I was restrictive for so many years. So I went from one end of the spectrum all the way to the other. And due to, you know, some outside factors, like I didn't have any structure in college. Obviously, that's one of the big things of college is you don't really know what to do. You have so much time on your hands and so much freedom, it feels like, that I just had no self-control. So I went from being very, very controlled and very, you know, in control of every bite of food that I took to just having no self-control and I didn't know when to stop. And I think the best thing that I found was just that exercise class. That sounds so stupid to say, but that gen ed class, which is really just learning the basics of nutrition, which is why I always go back to myplate.gov because it's a free resource. It costs you $0 to go read that information. And it tells you what you need to know about nutrition. It gives you ideas. It tells you how much you should be eating a day, what is healthy for the average individual. And I think just educating myself is the best thing that I could have done. And that helped me turn my eating habits around personally. And then two, the next big thing would be just moving for 30 minutes a day. Once I started exercising consistently, I found it as a stress reliever. It took my mind off of all that time I was spending thinking about food. I had at least 30 minutes a day where I was not obsessed over every bite of food that I put into my mouth. And then it started kind of a very positive domino effect of I was less and less stressed about what I was eating. And I was more and more focused on that feeling that I got on the inside. I had better mental clarity. I felt more confident in my clothes and in my skin. And the food just became an afterthought. That's kind of, I found that balance. And that's what worked for me.
Well, so last thing, I know I just said to end it out, but I know we have already done an ad for you, but I am so big into shameless plugs. It's not even funny. So plug away.
All right.
Get it, girl. Talk about your business.
Let me prop myself up here really quick. Yes. So you can find me. I have a fitness Instagram. It's at Shy Moxley Fit. It's CHEYMOXLEY Fit. So at Shy Moxley Fit, you can find me there. I post workouts. I post on my Instagram stories all the time. I spill the tea about nutrition and exercise daily. There I actually have a highlight called The Tea that you can find very easily. It's at the front.
I love it.
Yes. So you can find me there. Workouts, nutrition, meal ideas, all the good stuff. Giveaways. I just did a huge giveaway. There will be another one coming soon. And then for more information about my programs and if you want to work with me, you can find me on my website. It's www.moxleyfitnessnc.com. So that's where you can find me on the interwebs.
On the internet.
Yes. On the World Wide Web.
On the World Wide Web. Well, I'm so happy that we got to eat Mexican food and
food coma. Goodbye.
Talk.
It was so
and
good.
I love you, and I'm so happy that I got to have you on.
Thank
because
you for having me.
You're such a breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
And anytime you want to come on talk about anything, you're more than welcome.
Oh,
but
thank you.
Thank you for also listening to Trying to Communicate with Kayla, and we will be back with another episode shortly, but stay tuned for more. We're so excited to have you here.